I mean, really, if you're wearing a skirt that high and...
Ride them high, girls.
And you get upset about other people seeing your underwear. It's honestly, for me, like, girls who wear really low-cut shirts, and then are like, why are you staring at my cleavage?
Yaki no Takuto by the artist 9 with a number 9 like in the food.
This is Chiaki, and the reason why I talked like that is because the hosts of the Anime Addicts and on this podcast right now are actually cross-dressing.
That's right, what's it?
It's really a sad moment in my life.
Mitsuki is obviously not very festive because he's not wanting to talk like a girl. But he's got the curly purple wig.
See, here's the difference. Kimiko's wearing a jacket that Chiaki wears all the time. You're wearing ball caps and t-shirts, and I'm wearing a dress and a 2-foot-long purple wig.
Yo, we're wearing wigs, too.
Oh, my God. A brown wig that looks like that's, like, 6 inches long.
I think you look very pretty. I think
you look like a man, but...
And the reason why we're cross-dressing is because we raised $1,000 for Japan. We will get to that later. You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymous Podcast, the aaanetwork.org. It's awesome. There are a lot of cool people on that network. Check it out. And ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous podcast. But just on Facebook and Ustream, I recommend searching for our name. And we have a special guest on the line. Introduce yourself, special guest.
I am Round Peg, a.k.a. Chris from the Too Lazy to Be Otaku podcast. We ourselves are only found at TooLazyToBeOtaku.com. And, we don't do the Facebook, and we do have Twitter, but it's neglected horribly. Because we are too lazy for many other things other than just being otaku.
Live up to the name, sir.
Well, you can also find Too Lazy to Be Otaku on the AAAnetwork.org. So, that is the one thing they are not too lazy for.
Well, that's because y'all made it so quick and painless.
We try. So, Chris, do you want to just give a short bit about your show and let us know how foolish people are that they don't listen to it?
Well, I don't know if anybody would be foolish not to listen to our show. It's for a pretty select group. I found that in all nerd cultures, there is a degree of elitism, and we seek to abolish that. So our show is for the people that just aren't willing to fan out and just want to enjoy their stuff without feeling like they have to take a religious stance. So for the most part, our show is just us talking about the things that we enjoy. We all live in particular cultures, like two of our guys live in Toledo. I live in Omaha. My other buddy lives in Phoenix. And we're an older crowd, so we're over, you know, 30s and over. So to a convention with a bunch of 14-year-old girls in cosplay is kind of terrifying. Because no matter how noble your intentions, you look like a pervert. So, you know, we try to create a safe haven where you can enjoy being a nerd without the fear of, you know, policemen giving you dirty looks and stuff.
Well done, sir.
How many hosts are you normally joined by?
There's me and two other guys that are on there quite regularly. We have a fourth guy who's our answer monkey. I don't know if we want to use the other terminology on the non-explicit podcast.
The man who knows all.
he's the guy that fixes our website whenever I break it, which is pretty much the norm. Yeah. And he gets on periodically, but he's too lazy to do a podcast.
Look at Mitsuki. He's like, yeah, I know how that is.
What I know is that when this girl breaks a podcast, our dude, Chiaki, tends to fix it.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, when my purple hair gets in my eyes and I can't see the keyboard.
Well, yeah, we got a news and sound editor. He does a lot of the cutting of the podcast, and he watches the RSS for us. And then we've got the guy we refer to as the Cliff Notes Ninja Squirrel for some of his contributions. He's also kind of the peanut gallery. So anytime we have a guest host on, he usually kind of does all the sniping. So nice. We have a lot of fun. We just kind of kick back and enjoy ourselves. And we've utilized our show to make more friends. You know, because and when you're a 30-something otaku and you don't feel comfortable at conventions, there's a bit of a microcosm of the universe where nobody else is maintaining that space. So you kind of want to surround yourself with friends, and we've done that pretty successfully. You know, make some buddies.
Friends is what it is all about. And we've met some great people, and hopefully, I know there are definitely some older listeners that we have on our show. So hopefully they will be able to check out your show. But moving on, new forum members this week, welcome Dramatic Pause, GTOtaku63, AVPDZACH, Ragna Lord of the Skies, Spick.hack, Edge of Your Soul, Kira, and Darth Hobbit.
I like Dramatic Pause. That one's my favorite this week. It's pause with a P-A-W-S. I thought it was witty.
Yes.
I like Edge of Your Soul.
I think my name of the week is probably going to have to be Ragna Lord of the Skies. Because I like anything with Lord in the name. There's like, hello, I'm here. I am badass.
Yes, my lord.
Mitsuki?
What?
Name of the week?
let's see. My name of the week is GTO Taku.
I wonder why.
For obvious reasons, because GTO is the shit.
The shit. All right. So, we had trivia, of course. This week, and we had 22 people answer the trivia correctly, which is further proof of how perverted you all are. Considering we've had more people answer our T&A trivia than any other trivia before, the answer, the one who that glorious buttocks belonged to, was Seiko from High School of the Dead.
There's a nice butt on that one.
There is a nice butt on that one. Other people who have answered correctly...
Oh my god, there's like 1,000 people.
Yes. People who have answered correctly are Bob Not K, Canada Man, Bob Guardian, Little Too Nutty, King of Kingdom Hearts, Kron, Scython, Diesel Joe 001, Raid 233, Yellow Days, Glopez, Grizzly Bear.
Good lord.
Tori Notsu 351, Kamikaze Cow, Nanashi, Matty Poo, Dramatic Pause, Snake Blade 31, Robert the Crimson, Thyvin, Lester Clean Shirt, and Edge of Your Soul.
I think that just a few people have seen High School of the Dead. I mean, I'm just speculating, but that's, you know.
Just maybe one or two.
Googled anime buttoxes.
And Psycho has a lot of them.
Psycho does have a lot of them.
Well, and it's also reaching a wider audience now that the dub is starting to air on Anime Network.
Yes.
I was unaware. I knew that they dubbed it, but I didn't know that it was already on Anime Network. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're showing it, I believe, on Thursdays now, and they're up to episode 4.
Wow.
Sweet. I'll check that shit out.
Fancy.
So who won this week?
The winner was Nanashi.
Yay! Go Nanashi.
Congratulations.
Yay! You are putting to win our monthly prize. Birthdays? There were none.
There were no birthdays, so I'm not even going to bother with Vivaldi this week. I know, it's,
poor Vivaldi.
The week sad. Just won't be the same without Vivaldi's glorious tunes.
So, yeah. Two more announcements. One, we have an official AAA Minecraft server.
Apparently, yes, it was created by Chanao and Ozakaki. So, if you're interested in joining Chanao and Ozakaki's awesome AAA Minecraft server, I'm not really that familiar with what Minecraft is, but I guess it's like a sort of an MMO where you build things.
See, when I think of Minecraft, I think of Minesweeper, so...
Blasphemy, sir.
Email him at nega, N-E-G-A, 1880 at gmail.com. And hurry up, because availability is limited.
Very nice.
So don't delay.
Indeed. Another announcement. On the AA Network, we have 18 podcasts contributing, but just signed on two more. So if you are interested in all anime, all geek, and all the time, check out our network. The two we signed on was Avant Card Show. They're a show that discusses Magic the Gathering and good friends of our podcast from Orlando, Florida. Check them out at aaanetwork.org or their website, avantcardshow.com. And Table of Geeks. Each week, they uncover a new element, which is fundamental building block within the world of geeks. And you can find them again at our network site, aanetwork.org, or tableofgeeks.com. So check out the network and check out those guys.
They sound fancy.
They do sound fancy. They sound geeky. And that's what the network is about.
It is. It's what it's all about.
It's what everything is about. It's what life is about. So we also have one final thing to note. Our final amount for the AAA disaster relief effort, tsunami relief for Japan, was $1,018.13.
Whew!
We broke our $1,000 mark. That is why we are cross-dressing tonight. It is recording on the Ustream. You can watch it later if you are not watching live. And we have donated the money to the Red Cross in the name of anime. And there are screenshots, if anyone is worried about it, on our website.
You can trust us.
You can trust us. So thank you all for helping to make it happen with your generous donations.
You guys are awesome. Seriously.
Indeed. And Japan, if you missed out on our relief effort, if you didn't have the money this month, or if your check isn't, you have a big check coming in next month, whatever, Japan is going to need help for a long time to come. So find your own way to donate through redcross.org or any other charity of your choice. That was a lot of announcements.
But all good ones.
All good ones.
All very beneficial to indeed. The world of anime and life.
They are. They are indeed. What we are discussing today, however, is anime cliches. And I know you might say, wait, Chiaki.
Hold the phone.
You have discussed this before. However, today we are talking about anime cliches. What works, what doesn't, and how it affects your impression of an anime. And this was requested by our dear friend on the forums, Bob Not K. So, see, we like it when you request topics for us.
We do. We really do. We do
indeed. So, I believe how we are going to run this. Mitsugi, why don't you cover this?
I have a list of 55 anime cliches on my computer. And in the spirit of having some Ustream.tv chat contribution here to the discussion, I'm going to ring a bell. It's going to sound like this. And when you hear that noise, I'm going to need someone or anybody to call out a number between 1 and 55. And that will be the selection of the cliche we discuss for that moment until you hear another bell. And then we will pick another one. So I'm assuming that's pretty straightforward, so...
Oh, yeah. I like it.
And the discussion is basically, you know, does the cliche work? Does it not work? And how does it affect the way that you view an anime overall? So, it's kind of like a game that we'll play for 30 minutes and then...
I do like games.
This sounds remarkably like Pardon the Interruption.
I am PTI.
Unfamiliar. I'm familiar. Maybe a little bit. So let's get started. I'm gonna ring the bell and let's see the chat call out a number. And we're gonna wait for a number here. Hopefully it doesn't take too long, or I'm gonna pick it.
Yeah.
Number 20, talking weapons.
Talking weapons. Well, do we mean like a weapon itself that talks, or like Soul Eater, where it's a person that turns into a weapon?
Specifically, I think I was thinking Nanoha.
Oh, okay.
But see, I would classify Soul Eater because it is a weapon which talks. I know it's technically a person that turns into a weapon, well, but it is still a weapon which talks.
And it does. They do talk when they're in weapon form. In yes. Soul Eater, I think it works, personally, because it's a new spin on it. But, I don't know. I don't have as many experiences with talking weapons.
I kind of don't mind it so much because it's not one of those cliches that's been killed to death.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it except for when the weapon, they try to make the weapon too much of a character. Like, there are some animes that, I think a lot of, like, the sci-fi anime, where they have, like, computers and stuff that are weapons, and I know it's a little bit different than, like, a fantasy aspect to it, but then it's like the computer is trying, making an effort to become its own character, and that just doesn't work.
I think it also doesn't really work if the weapon thinks that it's human, or if it tries to be human in some way, it doesn't yeah. really work either. But yeah, it's not really overplayed, so I guess it's not something that if I saw it coming out as part of a aspect of the anime, I wouldn't be like, oh, another one of those.
Somebody mentioned from the chat, somebody mentioned Sacred Blacksmith.
Oh, God. That one anime was just terrible.
That goes a step further. Not only does she talk, but she transforms into a person.
Yeah. So. See, she's the reverse of
the
Soul
Eater. The reverse
Eater.
Of Soul Eater.
She is a weapon that becomes a person. Yeah, Soul Eater's a lot better. That anime is just shit all over.
I don't really think it adds or detracts from the show, but I don't think they've done enough with it. I kind of wish if they were going to have talking weapons that have a will of their own, they could turn on their master.
Oh, that would be cool.
If they wow. could find a way to do it where they, like, maybe, you know, the one of the cliches that go along with that is, like, you sync with your weapon or something of that effect.
Oh, yeah.
Or sync with your
I think if they could possibly take it where one step further, where unless they are able to work in perfect harmony, they end up killing each other. I think that would be much more awesome. And you never see a talking weapon die.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
They almost break in Nanoha. Like, there are times where it basically gets so effed up that they have to, like,
yeah,
either get a new one or put it in, like, this healing chamber or something.
And in Soul Eater, they're still human. Yeah. So, like, they can, you know.
No, what happens in Soul Eater if they break in weapon form?
They don't. Well, like,
they never have.
They still bleed. Like, they still respond like they're human. At one point, Soul actually tries to block an attack that's too strong for him, and it cuts him within his weapon form. So
anyway, let's pick another one. We're having some technical difficulties with the chat, so Chris, why don't you throw out a number here so we can pick a new one?
Let's go with 47.
47, way down the list here. Let's go with guys that look like girls but are still guys. I guess this is traps. I gotta
How
say,
fitting.
Some people love this, but
I love this.
This is one of those cliches that when I see it in an anime, my opinion of the show just plummets precipitously.
See, I think it can work if it's something like Alto from Across Frontier. Something like that doesn't bother me too much when they have a reason to look like a girl. Because he's, for anyone who hasn't seen it, he's a kabuki actor.
Okay.
And he plays the woman's role, so his job, basically, is to look like a woman. So that doesn't bother me too much. But what bothers me is when it's in yaoi, and one of the guys looks like a girl. Because then I'm just like, well, why don't you make it a girl? What's the point?
See, there's only really one thing I can think of that actually I enjoy about that aspect. And that reminds me of Hatamusuko, which I'm going to be doing a review on later, where he literally looks
Stay
so
tuned.
Much.
I know, right?
The main character literally looks so much like a girl that they either confuse him for a girl or he wants to be a girl and will dress up like a girl. So,
yeah.
And that's kind of put in a more serious aspect, but oftentimes it's...
But I can say, though, that, like, because of the perception that people have about it. I mean, think back with the initial impression on Haru Musuko.
Oh, I thought it was going to be stupid.
We thought it was going to be stupid because the synopsis was a guy who looks like a girl and wants to wear a girl's clothing. We're like,
oh
God.
Jesus.
So
That's
I really
nice.
Think this is a cliche that will kill an anime.
Unless you actually take the time to watch it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, this one actually doesn't bother me too much of... Well, the first thing that always had my first instinct is always, I should be playing Final Fantasy. Because that was the first place that I initially came into contact with this. But the other thing that I find kind of fascinating about this particular trope is that would never work in America.
No.
Guys who dress up like that, hide it, or the that look like women in any stretch or form, will do everything to hide it because you will get beaten up.
It's true. Unless you're, like, aiming for being a transvestite.
Yeah. And even then, you'll probably still get beaten up.
But not during adolescence. During adolescence, it's something, you know, you're so self-conscious during that period in your life. Anything that makes you look different, you tend to try to avoid. Or if you are trying to go with something, you want to be something so completely outrageous that makes you unique. So I find it amusing that in Japanese culture, or at least in anime itself, a lot of times those male characters that are dressed up like women, it's considered like a good thing or attractive to females. Whereas in America, that would just get your ass beaten up.
This is true.
All right, I'm going to ring the bell here. We're going to get a new one so we can call upon the chat. And someone selected number 42, so we're just going to take a little backtrack here.
The
and,
answer to life, the universe, and everything.
It is.
Girls outnumbering guys in an anime at least 3-1.
Harem!
Oh my god. There was an anime that came out, and I had it last time. I can't remember what it was, though. It was Level E.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That anime was pretty good for a while, but I honestly think that it seems like nowadays in anime, the less girls there are, the better the show is.
I can agree with that.
I hate to say it, but I generally find that true, too. And you know the weird thing that I've noticed as well with a lot of times those anime that are harem or that are the guys outnumbered? Even the general population. Like, when they have the shots of, like, a street scene or a restaurant or in the school, there's, like, 2 guys for every, like, 6 girls.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually a pretty bad sign, I'd say. I mean, especially Infinite Stratos, for example, when it's literally 1 guy to every 50 girls.
Yeah.
I mean, you just know there's not going to be anything good coming out of that.
I think the only time that it could work is if it's something like something where it's supposed to be a girls' school. And it's not, like, a guy who's stuck in a girl's school. It's actually just a girl's school. And, like, maybe there's a guy teacher.
There was an anime that I had to
want to have sex with.
I had to review a while ago called Mototo Loveru. And at the end, they basically have all the characters together around, like, a pool. Uh-huh. Like a swimming pool. And there's one dude, and I swear to God, there were 15 girls. And that show was shit. It was utter shit.
I think in a situation like Madoka Magica, then it would work, because there's literally maybe 1 guy character that's been brought up in the entire series so far, but because it's supposed to be about the girls, it's fine. Yeah. But what it's always about is it's about the one guy in the whole thing full of girls, and that's what makes it...
You gotta watch out. I think what we've uncovered is you watch out for this when it's either has a romantic spin or it's told from the guy's perspective.
Ah, yes. Yes. Avoidance. First avoidance maneuver.
Yes.
How about you, Chris? You have an opinion on this?
You're definitely right that it can be horrible. It is overdone, and it leads to sloppy writing, but I think they can be kind of fun, and you can kind of see some kind of interesting things come out of it. But yeah, it's largely overdone and terrible.
Agreed.
All right, well, next, let me bust out my bell here, which I'm really having fun playing with, by the way. 24. That was quick. Rekka on the ball.
You're always on the ball.
I have a feeling that was tight before the bell sound even occurred.
Waiting to press the enter button.
Cliche location names such as Avalon or Atlantis.
Yeah, I see a lot of that.
Does this work? I mean,
Gaia from Escaflowne.
Oh yeah, it's like it's endless. Gaia, you know, whatever it is.
So like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me too much, to be honest, because it's like, I feel like oftentimes they want to create anime that relate to the viewer or listener, and when you start creating everything from scratch, it almost becomes overwhelming to the point that people can't keep names straight, you know? Because I know there are a lot of anime out there that sometimes I feel like I'm like, damn, I need an atlas for this.
If I see Yggdrasil, you know, Yggdrasil, and anything one more time, I will literally refuse like, the last time I saw it, it was in Dragon Quest, what was the last Dragon Quest that came out?
Dragon Quest 8, Sentinels of the Starry Sky.
That was 9. Yeah, that's it, though. Yggdrasil. I just can't.
You gotta be careful, though, because that, without this trope, we would not have the Wings of Oniyamis.
I suppose that's true. That is a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I think the pull for this trope could produce a lot of good things, but unfortunately, it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies I feel like people miss out on and they really shouldn't.
But I can say one thing about this cliche, is that it doesn't immediately turn me off to an anime.
I kind of overlook it entirely, gonna be honest.
Like, if I'm reading a synopsis and they're like, people from a foreign land known as Gaia or Yggdrasil or something. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of trope, but it's not going to make me, like the boy one who looks like a girl is going to make me go, oh, God. But this one is not going to be as bad.
Yeah, I can kind of, it's not the worst.
Yeah, no,
it's more mild, I think.
Not even close.
Okay, so let's ring the bell again. I'm loving this bell.
I wish I could hear this magical bell.
Number 17. Mentos, not mental. Anime girls that are really, really clumsy. All I can think of are shows where the girl just falls down the steps and lands with her crotch right on some guy's face.
Yeah.
That is how.
Or bumps into a guy and falls on top of him and his hands, you know, on her boob or something.
Where she's like a waitress and trips and spills coffee all over the guy, but he doesn't care because she's so cute.
Or spills it all over herself and then her clothes are see-through.
You know what I hate? I hate the fact that this is seen as attractive by the guys in the anime. They are a walking hazard. Like, think about it. She's just...
See, I never really saw this as a trope whenever I first started watching anime, because I grew up with two sisters, and at the age of 14, like, my eldest sister's, like, she's nearly 6 foot. And when she hit 14, she had quite a tough time.
Aww.
Because, you know, you're just awkward during that age. You know, males, too, I mean... There's some physiological things that are really horrible. Yeah. You give up on dignity till about 25.
Oh, yeah.
So I never really find this attractive or really a trope. It's just a fact of the matter of that age group. And so I kind of, on some level, I commiserate because I remember those horrible, self-conscious, embarrassing times. So I've considered a product of the age group that the material in question. You know, most of these kids are like 14 to 16, and that's a very awkward, clumsy time in their life.
Yeah, I can see that, except for two things. One, they take it to an extreme of the point that NASA could have a vacuum room with a perfectly flat floor, and these type of characters would still trip over it. And two, the fact that it doesn't just end with the kids. Because think of, I think it's Mihashi from Tenchi Muyo, the blonde-haired chick. She was the clumsiest thing ever, and she was supposed to be, like, 20.
And it's when that happens, and it's played off as because they're just bubbleheads.
Yeah.
It's not because they're clumsy in general. It's because they're, like, they're literally not all there. So they're like, oh, I'm carrying this giant train. I'm skipping along as I do it because that's totally so. Oh, my God, I spilled it. Whoopsie. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's where they go with it. Yeah. I'm just saying, as a pure trope itself, it's not necessarily a bad thing. What anime tends to do with it.
Right. Yeah. And a little bit of slapstick is good, you know, but we've gone past a little bit of slapstick and into a whole lot of...
One fart joke is smelly. One fart joke is funny. Two fart jokes are smelly.
Did you just invent that, or is that really...
No, I just invented it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well done.
Pulled it right out of my ass. Further pun intended.
Okay, so, next one.
Okay.
Chunown Ozakaki wants really violent women. This would be,
Yo, you talking about people like us?
No. Please stop scaring me. This would be like Love Hina, where the guy gets punched. Or even a more recent example, Clannad, where they even have like a kick counter. Like the girl kicks the guy so many times that they actually have like a counter on the screen.
What's that anime where the girl will spend every episode killing the guy and then bringing him back to life? And we're talking, like, hitting him in the head with a giant hammer.
Bludgeoning Angel.
There we go. Yeah. In a situation like that, it's kind of just like, okay, we're done with the violence now.
That had a lot of shock factor at first, because I was like, holy shit, because it's so violent.
Yeah.
But, you know, after it happened, the first few times, it stopped being surprising, and at that point, it was just like, well, you're done.
Yeah. So. I don't think it necessarily turns me off to the anime, because there could be reasons for the violent aspect in one of the main characters. But if it's a situation, it's situational. If it's a situation where the character is, what's it called, agoraphobic, where you're afraid of men?
Oh.
Agoraphobic. It's something like that.
Agoraphobic is when you're afraid of all people. Like,
okay, well, there's one people. Where you're afraid of men, and I've seen that in maybe, like, two or three anime so far in the last couple of seasons, and they're just constantly punching guys in the face, or, like, a specific guy in the face, or, like, slapping him, or pushing him through walls and stuff. Then it gets to be a little bit much, but other than that, for me, anyway, it's not something that I would avoid entirely, I guess.
I think if a character deserves a good old-fashioned bitch slap, I kind of enjoy it immensely.
The only problem is it never does really anything for the character. Like, there are some whiny guy characters in anime that I really want to get hit, and they do, and then they're still whiny, and I'm like, that nothing was accomplished.
Or characters that don't deserve it, like Anthy.
Oh my god. I'm so making that music video.
Please do.
And I am actually 26 episodes into Utena now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
My congratulations.
Reference was, obviously I've seen it, but Kimiko has read the manga, started the anime, never finished the anime, so we've started rewatching it together, and I noticed, as I'm rewatching it, how many times Anthy gets slapped in that show.
By so many people.
By so many different people. So I just want to make a music video to, like, a hardcore, like, techno poof, poof, poof beat, and just have it be one video of her being slapped after another.
That'd be really funny.
It was, like, three episodes in, and she'd already been slapped, like, 8 times.
By, like, 4 different people.
It's ridiculous.
You could always do it to Prodigy slap my bitch up.
Yes.
That would work.
Good times.
So are we doing another one?
I think we should do another one.
Yes, we have another one. I gotta ring my bell first.
Ring the bell.
Alright, so let's see what I can reel in. Alright, so the Black Tiger once. All I have written for this one is a quote. I will protect ... In other words, I will protect my friends, or
I will protect my homeland.
My family. Or,
I will protect my honor.
I will protect you. I will never desert my place before your throne.
Don't even go there. I cannot tolerate you insulting the 12 kingdoms.
It is seen an awful lot, though.
It is.
But it's always in a serious situation.
But the problem is, though, is that they say it in every serious situation. In front of the people. It's normally not even in front of the anime. It's normally in front of their allies. So, like, on one time, yeah, I get it. It's, like, emotional. And, like, I will give my life to protect you. And then it's, like, two battles later, I will give my life to protect you.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, you said that. I will give my life. Okay.
I got it.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's covered.
See, it kind of reminds me of Black Butler, which I just finished, where every single episode, he'll say one of three things. Yes, my lord, I'm one hell of a butler, and, oh god, what's the other one? If I couldn't do insert here, then what sort of butler of the Phantom Hive household would I be? Mm-hmm. And it's literally said at least once or twice every episode.
Yeah, but see, those are more specific to the character. I think the thing about this one is it's like,
I will protect blank.
It's normally, like, I just think it oftentimes signifies bad writing. Because you can't think of a better way, a more impacting way to say that.
You can allude to it in a way. Like, Uryu Ishida in Bleach, they constantly talk about the fact that he is, that his, like, I guess it's like a clan of his or something like that, are very prone to honor.
Yeah.
And so they talk about it objectively. He's never like, I must protect my honor.
Yeah.
And that's handled well, I'd say.
Or I think, in joking, I referenced the 12 Kingdoms, but I think it is a good example of
I'm glad you said that was a joke.
Because it was a joke.
I was about to come across this table, take that hat off, and show the world what you really are. A woman.
Make me a sandwich.
No. Here comes the violent woman over the table.
Make a sandwich.
But, don't make me do a dance in this dress.
Oh, please.
Like we
don't
could
make
make
me do
you,
a dance in this
like
dress.
Like we could make
like you.
You
would ever.
But what I was going to say is... In that anime, he says, I will never desert my place before your throne. And it's in a time of crisis and stuff. And that, to me, is, like, a perfect way of saying, I will protect you to the end. Without being like, I'll protect your kingdom.
No, that was actually very well written.
Yeah. 12 Kingdoms is awesome. The end.
All right, so let's ring the bell again. We got time for maybe, like, I don't know. Two more, maybe?
I'd say two.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, I just rang it. Let's see what we... Oh, that was quick.
Oh.
Ooh.
Let's see. I'm trying to get a number from somebody who already hasn't said one, but... The Black Tiger, once again, wants number six. Girls not being able to cook.
Yeah, that's always in the same place for me as the girl who trips a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's usually like, I can cook really well. Oh, wait, I just tripped over nothing, and now the eggs are all askew, and we have no more eggs. I'll substitute chicken. You know, just something. That's usually how it ends up going for me.
Chicken cake.
Or they're like a demon or something, and they end up like, in God Only Knows, they end up cooking something that's very specific to their demon nature and try to feed it to a human, and it's like tentacle rape. You know?
Tentacle rape soup.
There's probably gonna be a lot of girls that can't cook in this new anime, Toriko, that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure, but...
Hmm. What do you think, Chris?
Make a sandwich instead.
They can't even do that right.
No,
they burn the sandwich.
That trope just annoys the crap out of me. It's the same with the I must protect. I just roll my eyes and just suffer for a while till it's over.
Yeah.
I don't know. This kind of shit totally ruins anime for me. It's like they didn't even put like any effort into actual comedy or actual drama or anything. They just. You know, it's almost like the creators have watched too much anime themselves, and so they can't think of anything but the crap that other people have done.
Yeah. Plus...
Well, it's partially cultural, as far as, like, you know, women at this point in Japan are expected to be the homemaker still, kind of like, you know, what we were in the 50s. So if they're incapable of doing that, that is supposed to be laughable. It's ingrained into their genes, because we're misogynistic bastards... You must be able to cook, and if you can't do that, that's really funny, somehow.
I thought you said it, I thought you meant it like it was cultural for people in Japan not being able to cook.
No.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I understand where it comes from, I just think it's overused, especially
so
to the level. And I have to say, whenever I see a character who fulfills a stereotype, I just want to kill them. It might not ruin the anime for me, depending on how much FaceTime it gets, because normally this comes up only, like, one, maybe two episodes.
If it was a plot point, I would probably not watch it.
Oh, yeah. One more?
Let's see. Do we have time for one more? Oh, man. Alright, someone keeps... Alright, someone's berating me with a number 18.
Okay.
Oh my god.
I didn't even ring the bell yet. I'll ring it anyway. Okay, so number 18, being excessively embarrassed about the opposite sex seeing one's underwear.
You see that a lot.
As a source of comedy.
I don't think it's funny anymore.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, I could see maybe being embarrassed, but it's like the level to which it happens, like be embarrassed the first time and the second time you're like, dude, wear a longer skirt. Like, I mean, really, if you're wearing a skirt that high and...
Ride 'em high, girls.
And you get upset about other people seeing your underwear. It's kind of like, it's honestly for me, like girls who wear really low cut shirts and then are like, why are you staring at my cleavage?
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you get mad? It's out there.
It's sitting right there in my face.
Yeah.
It's a shirt that has words written across.
And I like it.
You can read this, you're too close. And it's like that small.
Yeah. I mean, I just... I don't know. This one... This one doesn't bother me too much, because I think if I did see, like, a random person's underwear, I'd be kind of embarrassed, but I think it's, like, whenever they play it off as, like, best friends for life, or especially people of, like, who would be in situations where they'd see each other as underwear, and then, like, they act all weird about it, I don't know.
I've on that kind of same genre, where, like, guys get terrified when they see a girl's underwear and run away.
That's even more annoying.
Yeah, that one.
See, I can see him being embarrassed, but yeah, running away, not so much.
Oh my god, it's underwear!
In fact, I kind of enjoy certain harems where the guy is actually proactively trying to sleep with women, just because it's a change of pace.
Yeah.
It's true. It's totally true.
And that would be what a real guy would do. Be like, well, I said a bad word. be like, damn, you all want to sleep with me?
Yeah, and I'm over here very carefully not dropping thoughts left and right.
I'm sorry, I don't normally do that, but
it's the hat.
It's the hat. I'm in dude mode. I just want to curse and smoke and have sex. And drink beer. And watch sports. But, yeah. So, we have a lot of cliches on our list, but we didn't get to all of them. Maybe we can do something else with them later on. But for now, I think we are going to wrap it up, take a short anime news break. Chris will stay with us for the rest of the episode, and we are going to review Wolverine. Mitsuki's going to take that one. Chris from Too Lazy to Be Otaku is going to take Kodocha, and Kimiko is going to be reviewing Haru Musuko, so stay tuned. Anime addicts out there, this is Chiaki, and get excited because this is your anime news break. For all you Tezuka or Blackjack fans out there, if you don't know, there's a live-action Blackjack special in the works right now. Kentaro Otani, who was the director of the live-action Nana movies, is heading the project. The project is going to tell the story of how Blackjack became the unlicensed renegade doctor, starting from when he was 9 years old, when he received major injuries in an accidental explosion. It looks like it's going to be an exciting backstory to one of our favorite characters of all time, and it's going to air on April 23rd at 9 p.m. in Japan. So, I highly recommend marking the date and checking it out after the fansubbers get their hands on it. As you know, the addicts have recently gone over the upcoming anime season, as we normally do, and it turns out, not to very much surprise, that we're not the only ones anticipating some of the anime coming up. ASCII Media Works, Dengeki Online, has recently asked their readers in a poll what anime are they most anticipating coming out soon. The results, with over 40 new titles that they could choose from, are as follows. Aria, The Scarlet Ammo, takes number one. Number 2 is Denpa Onna to Seishun Otoko. Number 3 is The World God Only Knows 2. Good pick, Kimiko. Number 4 is My Ordinary Life, or Nichijo. And number 5 is A Channel. I see two of my animes up there, so maybe I picked wisely. What anime are you looking forward to? Let us know on our forums. In other news, something that would have been great to add to our discussion last week, Funimation has recently announced at its Anime Detour convention panel this past Saturday that it has acquired the licensing rights to a new Tales of Vesperia film. The film is Tales of Vesperia, The First Strike, and it has acquired full broadcast, theatrical, digital, and merchandising rights. So it's planning to release the feature on DVD and Blu-ray sometime in this next year. If you're a Tales fan, or just an anime game fan in general, you probably will want to check this film out. Our last bit of news is for all you Vocaloid fans out there. There's a new Sega Vocaloid game coming out titled Hatsune Miku Project Diva Dreamy Theater 2nd, and it's going to be released on the PlayStation 3. But this game isn't really what the news is about. The news is about a controller that they've created for the game. The game, of course, in true Japanese fashion, is going to be a rhythm game, with a series of 8 buttons that you push in time with the music. And the buttons are your standard directional D-pad, along with your normal X, square, circle, and triangle. While they've released a controller where these buttons are quite literally massive, the size of your fist, and I'm not even kidding, I highly recommend watching the demo for this controller. The Japanese game accessory maker is going to be accepting pre-orders for the product until 6 p.m. on April 11th. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break.
Hey guys, I am Sean Ryan, also known as the Grey Ghost.
And I am Kevin Grey, also known as The Business and the LLC.
And we are Method to Madness, a weekly podcast that cusses and discusses anime and video games.
Yes.
And other otaku subjects.
That is what we are here for. We are here to rip them up and sometimes build them up. The shows that we love, the shows that we hate, the shows that we watch so that you wouldn't have to.
Go to thegreyghost.net or go check us out on iTunes
with whiskey.
Hi, my name is Tony Oliver, voice of Arsene Lupin III from Lupin III, the TV series, and I am an anime addict.
Welcome back, everyone, to the show. This is the 78th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, and we are joined by Chris from Too Lazy to Be Otaku. That is too late, to the number two, lazy to the number two again, B, the letter B, otaku.com. Your web address is hard to say.
Yeah, it looks cooler. I thought I was going to create a domain that would be similar to if somebody was texting it.
Yeah, no, it looks cool, but just saying it to make sure people understand how to type it into their browser is difficult.
Yeah, very, very, very much so.
But we have hit the reviews portion of our episode, and I'm actually not doing a review tonight, so I'm just going to
gasp.
Legasp. Night off for Chiaki.
Oh, you're so lazy.
Hey, I have reviews to do. I just figured if we did four reviews, it would take a long time. So, Mitsugi, take it away with a review of Wolverine.
Really? I have to go first?
Do you not want to?
Yeah, let someone else go first.
All right. Chris Kimiko, battle to the death.
You can go first.
Wow, that battle was won far too easily. She is catering to my sensibilities. Well, Kodocha, I watched the 51 episodes that were available in English. The show actually has 102, but only 51 were licensed in America because it did so poorly.
Ooh, one of those.
This show aired between spring of 1996 to 1998 in spring as well. And this show is really something different. If you've been watching a ton of anime and say, oh, it's starting to look all the same, check out Kodocha. I really can't stress enough how this anime is almost schizophrenic. In that it has kind of hardcore drama and hardcore slapstick comedy all rolled into one, and it transfers pretty seamlessly between the two. It follows a sixth grade girl who's got who's a child actress who has her own show with a mock teacher, and from what I can tell, the entire show is just predicated on and then her more or less blogging about her life to her fake teacher about, you know, things that are going on in her school, but yet she's very, very popular. She does a lot of commercials and sings and dances and the whole nine, but like some really mean-spirited crap ends up happening to her pretty early on. And for those of you who aren't familiar with 90s anime and kind of its over-the-top nature, like maybe some of those of you who have watched Fist of the North Star, this is kind of the same genre in that drama is just as over-the-top. For example, her manager is like a 20-something guy who she also refers to as her boyfriend, and they commonly share a bed. So,
Wow. Really?
Yeah, so you have a prepubescent girl sleeping in the same bed with a guy is her manager, who is 20-something, and then you also find out later on that the reason why he's her manager is she literally picked him up off the street and he was homeless.
Oh my god.
So, but the weird thing about all this, of course, is that the 20-something-year-old...
Wait, we haven't reached the weird thing yet?
Yeah. Well, the guy is actually completely devoted to her. She kind of gave him a purpose for living because he more or less was ready to end his own life. And so it's not that he was advancing himself towards her. It was just more like a girlhood crush type thing. And, you know, he just more or less protected her. And then whenever his old girlfriend comes onto the scene, she loses her mind.
Oh, dear.
Because her innocence is more or less lost. Like, no, he really doesn't love you in that way. He just really cares for you. And that is, like, the first dramatic scene that really kind of took me aback. And it keeps going on from there. I mean, one of her classmates is blackmailing her teachers, who he caught having sex, and they took a picture of it, and so he uses that to more or less rule the school. I say all this, and it sounds like really hardcore and kind of dark. And the show is nothing like that. It's very slapsticky, very comedy-esque. And I think it's that dichotomy that doesn't seem unnatural that makes this show so clever and kind of interesting and fun. And it never takes itself too seriously. It even has a mascot character that has the head of a rabbit and the body of a bat. And of course, they refer to it as Babbitt.
Of course.
And it breaks the fourth wall constantly. It's talking to the characters, and then in turn talks to you, and back and forth. And you get the distinct impression that the people writing this show are literally just ready to stick it to this girl at every turn. It has a couple of really neat things that they do with this show. I don't know about you guys, but I can't stand it when they have those episode previews after every episode.
Oh, I hate it.
Because 9/10 of the time, it doesn't tell you squat, and it's just kind of annoying.
And if you're watching it in succession, then you just saw that happen.
Exactly. Well, this show doesn't do that at all. In fact, what it will do is kind of the series, the next preview within the show. And the example I gave in the written review that I handed over to Chiaki in her email was that there's a point where the paparazzi are starting to take interest in her, and you see a guy in a dark room developing a picture and saying, I'm going to show everybody the real Sonic Harada. And that's how you kind of know what the subject matter is for the next episode. It doesn't actually give the animation for the next episode. It just kind of lets you know what's going on. And it's really an enjoyable show. I'm really kind of depressed that it didn't get a full run. I understand why it didn't, because there's a lot of heavy cultural social acceptance issues that I would have in this. As an example, at one point she was writing a manuscript. She had to turn it in, and by this particular deadline, she was up for like 3 days straight, and she falls asleep on a park bench. And one of the guys that she had worked with recently, who's like a 50-year-old man, picks her up, takes her home, and she wakes up sleeping in his bed with him.
Oh my god.
Creepy. And this is... But at the same time, there's an innocence to the whole thing. In fact, the hysterical part is when she wakes up and she freaks out because she realizes she's not in her own room, she crawls down onto the floor and prostrates herself and apologizes for defaming him as if he was the girl. You know, like you commonly see in hentai, every time they have sex with a guy, you know, a guy has a sex with a girl, he always apologizes and says how sorry he is. She pulls the same thing on a 51-year-old man.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And that's just kind of the sick, sadistic, kind of dark comedy that's in this show. It's a brilliant show. Animation quality is very 90s, though. If you're addicted to the new style of animation and you like your cel-shaded look and incorporated CG, it looks old. But it is a fantastic show. There's some very Looney Tunes-type moments, and you'll really it's really enjoyable. I mean, if you hate the show, there's something horribly wrong with you. So I gave it 4 toy mallets out of 5.
Nice.
Very nice. Why toy mallets, though? I'm just curious.
In the kind of the opening shot where it says Kadocha, there's like a little rubber mallet, and it's common for characters to actually hit each other with little rubber mallets instead of like actually bitch slapping one another. So it's very much Bugs Bunny.
I gotcha.
Hit them with a toy mallet, and it makes a little chiming sound every time they hit them.
Cute. Well, thank you for that review. We have Mitsugi, who wants to review Wolverine, and Kimiko, who's going to review Harumusuko, Fight to the Death, Begin.
That's a cow go.
Wow.
I like this.
I am doing really well.
Putting it off.
Yep.
Wolverine. Okay, so Wolverine is one of the current shows from this most recent season. And I don't really think it needs much introduction. I mean, I think pretty much everyone on the planet Earth knows who Wolverine is. It's 12 episodes long. And the main plot of the show is that Wolverine is there's a crime organization on an island called Madripoor. And these two crime lords, Shingen and I can't remember the other guy, Hideki Kudohagi. They're basically marrying a girl, this woman, to Hideki in order to Hideki wants to marry the girl so he can receive money from the family, from the girl's family, to like fuel his crime ring,
right.
So he can like control all the crime on the island, basically. And unfortunately for him, that happens to be Wolverine's woman.
Oh,
and
that
so
is unfortunate.
Right from the first minute of the show, Wolverine is rampaging around trying to get his chick back, and that's
always a woman. Always a woman.
Right, pretty much. And that's pretty much how the show goes the entire time. It started out being really like quite a good show. I mean, Wolverine definitely didn't turn out looking like a female vampire like we thought he would, you know, from watching the trailer. I did see one of those pictures recently again from the trailer, and I really do think that we were looking at the wrong character.
I think they redid the character design, because I've seen the old, like, Tony Stark from the original Iron Man, and his character design was completely different.
Yeah, I mean, Wolverine pretty much
like,
looks like
he
ought to. Yeah.
Like, in the original character design.
Wolverine, you know, he's got, like, his tufty hair, and his, he says bub a lot, and,
Is he hairy?
He's pretty hairy. I mean, he's got his leather jacket that gets destroyed, like, at least 10 times during the show. And
that's expensive.
Yeah.
Like, leather jackets are expensive.
He also rides a motorcycle a couple times during the show, which is very...
But is there blood in entrails? That's what everybody really wants to
know. Wolverine's blood, more than anybody. Wolverine, I said that if there was one theme for this show, it would be that one line from the movie Friday... Chris Tucker says it. I don't know if that really, you know, tips a lot of people off as to what the line is, but I've actually got a clip of the line right here. And it's really short.
You got knocked the fuck out!
Wolverine got knocked the fuck out. And there's another quote from the Boondocks that I really wanted to find a clip of.
Oh, can I say it? Can I say it?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so it's from episode 6 of the first season of the Boondocks, and we're a big Boondocks fan here, and Exhibit says it, and the quote is, "You just got your ass beat by an old-ass man."
Well, because the Shingen is like this old dude, right? He's like this old samurai guy. Mm-hmm. He looks about 75, and he fights with a sword, and he Fs Wolverine up this entire show, and it's kind of... You know, the show kind of takes a couple progressions. You know, you start out with Wolverine whooping ass in Tokyo, or New York, or wherever the hell he is. And then Cyclops flies him to the island of Madripoor with, like, the X-Men jet, you know? I guess they have to make a cameo, just like, well, I guess Wolverine was in Iron Man?
Yeah.
Okay, so they drop him off in Madripoor, and then they fight nonstop for, like, 6 episodes. Everybody... It's a spoiler. I don't know. Well... We said that we weren't going to do spoilers, so I shouldn't.
Yeah.
But Wolverine does get effed up by Shingen a lot. I mean, there's this one scene where they're, like, battling on top of this, like, glass bridge thing. It looks like one of those things that connects, like, hospitals,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they charge at each other, and Wolverine's basically just, like, this brute, you know? He's just, like, swinging wildly, like a crazy animal. And Shingen's, like, this honed samurai who can, like, launch blades of air at people and stuff like that. And Shingen just very methodically cuts Wolverine straight down like his left shoulder, about a foot deep in his torso. Wolverine just kind of staggers and falls off the walkway. And it's just like, that's basically the theme for this anime. And even after Shingen loses his sword, he like takes off his like kimono, and he has like this body armor on under it. And Wolverine like charges at him, and Shingen just gives him like like a karate style kick to the chest, and Wolverine just goes like flying through a wall.
Oh my god.
I mean, Kimiko, you saw those two clips. I mean, that's pretty much how this anime goes between Shingen and Wolverine, and I won't really say how it resolves, but I mean, everybody can probably figure it out. But Wolverine,
does it take the Ren daughter of Mimo sign version of immortality?
As in, like,
let's make sure that they really can't die by horribly maiming them regularly.
See, I'm one of those guys that like knows most about the X-Men from watching the movies. I'm not a huge comic book reader, and so my impersonation of Wolverine was that like he heals quicker, but he's not like straight up immortal. I mean, that may or may not be true, but Wolverine gets effed up a lot in this show, and just basically like it's like almost like watching a vampire. Like the blood sucks itself back into his body, and he just like all the wounds close up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
I don't know how accurate that is to the comic books, but I mean, we're talking like in my personal opinion, unless his limbs are cut off or his head's cut off, he's not dying. He takes bullets and just absorbs them, and like the wounds just close up. So for the people that are listening that know better than I do about Wolverine, if that's normal or not for him, I really don't know. Do you know, Chris? Is that normal?
Well, even if you're going strictly off the movies, in the very first movie, age is indeterminate because he always regenerates. Because his power is actually regeneration. The whole claw thing is just a product of an experiment.
Yeah.
That he was able to survive because he could infinitely regenerate. So his age is indeterminate. So you don't necessarily know if he's immortal, but because he doesn't really know. But what I was referring to is in, you know, like Ren, Daughters of Mimo's Time, which I'm pretty sure y'all have reviewed.
I've seen it, yeah.
I thought
the main character just gets, I mean, just ripped to shreds constantly, and I was kind of wondering if they would do that.
There's blunt torture in that, though. That is like straight up blunt torture. We are going to sit you down, chain you to a chair, and rip out your eyes and stuff.
Yeah, it's not quite that. It's not quite that extreme. I mean, but he does take like 10 like bullets from a machine gun to the chest, and just like the wounds just close up, and he just takes it. You know, that kind of thing.
I thought the Wolverine's claws were another part of him because they were bone.
They
first,
were bone first,
and
yeah.
The experiment was adding the. Antillium or whatever.
Adamantium.
Adamantium.
Get it right.
I'm sorry. I knew it was and kind of guessed the middle part.
Anyway. Your girl is showing through your cosplay.
I apologize.
Anyway, so getting back to the show, you know, I was kind of really optimistic about it at first. The first four episodes was, you know, Wolverine having some cool fights with this other swordsman guy who can basically eject swords from his hand, just like Miss Odyssey from X.
Fancy.
Yeah, he's basically a ripoff of Miss Odyssey, and he fights with this one guy, I can't remember his name, but he's like this fire guy with a whip, like an electric whip. He's like a radioactive person, but really what happened to the show was that it just turned into this like fighting anime that had really no direction at all other than Wolverine just effing up everybody and getting effed up in the process. To the point where there's like a road in Madripoor called Hell Road that they just had to use for some reason.
Of course.
And there's like torsos all over it, and the two whole episodes was spent them going down this road and just avoiding traps and fighting people. And there's like this big, like they call him like Vada or something. It sounded Hindu or Buddhist, but he's like this big statue, and they battle. He battles a statue for literally 4 or 5 of the 12 episodes.
Wow.
By the end of the show, I didn't really appreciate it anymore. I mean, it was kind of boring. We all know Wolverine was going to win. He can't die. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you survive having your nearly having your body cut in half straight down the middle and falling off of like I don't even know how many hundreds of feet that thing was, then you're not going to die. I mean, that's pretty much the bottom line to the show. You know, I hope that there would be more to the show than that. There really was no drama. There was no comedy at all. It was basically just Wolverine fighting in the same exact style for 10 episodes. And then the plot really was Wolverine get the girl. And, you know, I won't say what happens at the end, but the end was not satisfying either. It ends with Wolverine.
I remember you were like, what?
This is it?
This is it?
Excuse me?
It kind of ends with Wolverine just, like, yelling angrily, like...
Up at the sky?
Up at the sky, and that's it. The end.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll continue at all, though, since Wolverine will be an X-Men.
I hope not. Because this anime was not good. Like, I mean... It's the only anime I've got that's worse than this one's Rio Rainbow Gate, and that doesn't say much. But I think I decided that I was going to give Wolverine... it's kind of hard to say, but I'll give it two claw-destroyed henchmen out of five, because he's just killing henchmen this whole show. It's not good. And I know I give, like, everything a bad score, but...
Well, Iron Man wasn't very good to begin with. I mean, it was kind of your average anime. And this sounds worse than Iron Man, so that sounds right about on the mark.
It got to the point where you probably could have skipped from episode 5 to episode 10 and not have missed anything. Because they got to Madripoor, they're fighting. They're fighting. Five episodes later, they're still fighting. All they do is move closer to, like, the bad guy.
It's like being stuck on Snake Way.
Yeah, it kind of was. Hell Road was kind of like Snake Way with... spear traps and you know, not as many clouds and no fun blue and red ogres underneath.
Aw, darn,
waiting for you to visit. So it's not good. If you're a fan of the X-Men, I don't think you're gonna like it, but I mean, that's really the only way I could see anybody having a shot at enjoying the show. Otherwise, I think there's so many other action animes you could watch that are way better than Wolverine.
Sounds it.
I mean, I kind of hope X-Men's better, because everybody likes X-Men, but that remains to be seen.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Or rather unfortunate.
Yeah, it was.
But still.
I think you have something good to round us out.
I have something so good. Like, I haven't seen, since I've started reviewing for the podcast, I have not seen an anime that I have enjoyed this much.
Yay!
Yay! Things exist that are awesome
there
in
is
the
still
most
hope
recent
in the
anime.
World.
So, I'm reviewing an anime called Harumusuko, otherwise known as Wandering Sun, which is what most people are familiar with. And it's basically a self-discovery sort of anime. You know, going through a journey, discovering, you know, who you are, what you should or what you want to be, you know. And it follows a character named Shuichi Nitori, and... I'm going to just outright say it. Nitori is a boy who wishes that he was a girl.
We learned earlier, Kimiko, that this means it sucks.
You would think that, Chiaki. You would think that. But this is so much more.
Fix my opinion, Kimiko.
Okay,
I fix will. It.
I mean, I know that, like, when we talked about the cliche, you were like, oh, that's fine with me. But, like, am I going to like this show, or am I going to be like, it's, you know, a little bit...
Okay.
Yay. I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Watch out, Mitsuki. You're walking on very delicate territory.
I'm just
right
saying
now.
It's, you know, is it something that, like, a dude's gonna watch?
I'm gonna say no, but not because it's a bad anime. It's okay. Just the sort of anime that, well, some dudes, yes. If you are open minded,
dudes that hate their penis.
No. No, dudes that are mature and open-minded would enjoy this anime. Because it's not played off in a way that's frivolous and cheesy and I want to dress up like a girl because I want to be a girl and I wish I wasn't a boy, you know? It's handled
just
in
like
a way that's very realistic to growing up. I mean, this anime starts when they're in middle school versus the manga, which starts, I guess, pre that. When they're in elementary school, so we kind of come in the middle of the story, but it's okay because at that point we kind of get flashbacks occasionally that show us how they reached where we start. And at the point where we start in the anime, Nitori is best friends with a girl named Takatsuki who wishes that she doesn't necessarily wish that she was a boy, but she doesn't like the aspect of being a girl. She prefers the clothes, she prefers the attitude and the personalities that are associated with guys. She even, in the beginning of the show, is given a present by a friend of hers who is transsexual. Is it transsexual when you get the operation?
Yeah, transsexual.
Yes.
Okay, so a friend of hers is a transsexual who went from man to woman, and I guess she's kind of like her mentor,
mm-hmm.
and she gives Takatsuki a present, kind of towards the beginning of school, and she gives her a boy's uniform. So it kind of shows where she's at. And this whole anime just, it centers around this idea that there are ideas that we follow because we're told to, from the very beginning of our education, the very beginning of, you know, learning right from wrong, learning what is considered appropriate in social behaviors and such, and how some people just deal with it while other people kind of question whether or not it's right for them.
Yeah.
So Nituri, who is our main character, he's always enjoyed dressing up like a girl, but has never really understood why, or has never really understood, or never really kind of known whether or not it was okay to dress like a girl in school or dress like a girl out in public, because it was something that wasn't necessarily frowned upon, but wasn't necessarily approved either.
Yeah.
So there were questions of sorts that these characters go through that I would like to say a lot of people in general go through. You know, am I gay because I like dressing up like a girl even though I'm a guy? Am I just, you know, a transvestite? Do I want to grow up and get an operation to fix this? You know, what does it mean if I'm in love with the girl who wants to be a boy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this whole show is basically answering those questions, you know, to the best of our ability, at least.
Well, I think what this show tackles, that I really like the fact that it sounds like it tackles, is in gender studies, there's a lot of discussion on, and this is my undergraduate coming out, I know, but there's a lot of discussion on sex, gender, and sexuality. And oftentimes people think the three are basically one thing. For example, if your sexuality, or if your sex is man, in other words, you have the parts of a man, then your gender will be masculine, and then your sexuality will be to want woman. And like, it's commonly perceived by people that these three things have to go together. Like
but they
that.
Don't.
But they don't necessarily go together. And this sounds like an anime where it's a perfect example of that, where you have a boy who has the parts of a man for his sex. For his gender, it sounds like he wants to be a woman
yes.
for gender. And as far as liking people, it sounds like he likes women.
He does.
So, I mean...
He does. It shows you that there are ways for... It's not necessarily that you have to be gay in order to want to dress up like a girl, in a guy's opinion, or you don't necessarily have to be a lesbian if you want to dress up like a boy or hang out with, you know, primarily boys.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just these are the things that we have to figure out about ourselves, and what better time or what, you know, general time is it figured out rather than in middle school,
mm-hmm.
which is where a lot of these questions come up. You know, and it starts off really, I guess it starts off really simple with, you know, kind of doing this in secret and enjoying it in secret and being with your friends that you've told that you like to dress up like this or that you like to occasionally go around town and pretend that you're a girl. And then it goes from there to, you know, Takatsuki showing up in school wearing the boy's uniform and Nitori being like, well, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
And him going to school and people sending him home, because guys can't do that. Girls can. Girls can dress up in a boy's uniform and go to school, but guys, no, you can't do that. We have to send you to the nurse's office, and you have to have your mom come and pick you up. And those are very real situations, you know? And one of my favorite things, and I know this sounds weird, but one of my favorite things that happened, this was early on in the show, was Takatsuki, as she was growing up, she joined the basketball team and was told during one of the episodes at the end of practice that she had to come the next day wearing a sports bra or a bra of some sort or else she wasn't going to be allowed on the team. And she literally didn't know how to handle that. She got that, you know, request and literally went home and sat on her bed and cried because she couldn't handle the idea that she was going to have to be this girl that everybody wants her to be. Or that society at least wants her to be, when all she wants is to be able to wear a t-shirt and shorts like a normal boy,
yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's very solid, you know? It's very real situations, and They add, that makes them very real characters too.
So it sounds like it's a slice of life, but is there any like greater conflict to it? Like, is there a climax point, or is it really just like a slice of life from these characters' perspectives?
I'm gonna say it's more slice of life, but when I think about it, really, it has an arc to it. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, it starts off with a little bit more simple questions, and then the questions get more difficult as they get older and the situations get more complex.
Right.
And then you don't really ever... One of my favorite things about it is you don't really ever end. It's only 12 episodes, and there is a defined ending, but it's not like an end. It's not a finale of sorts. It's just, this is where we are at the point where the show ends, and there's hope, but things aren't necessarily entirely answered because it's life, you yeah. know, and things aren't always answered in life.
Things aren't packed in a neat
exactly.
package.
And a couple of extra things. The animation style is absolutely gorgeous. It looks kind of like precious memories, you know? Everything's a little bit shiny. Everyone looks a little bit similar to each other. It's more lighter tones, pastels. But it's just beautiful in that sense. And it makes it more believable to recognize that, like, Nitori looks more like a girl, where Takatsuki looks more like looks a little bit more like a guy when she grows her hair out. Things like that. And the music is so perfect for the style. It's very simple, you know, mostly just piano with a little bit of strings or something. And it's just, everything about it is so sweet.
Right.
You know? There's really nothing else I can think about this that I didn't enjoy or that I wasn't just in awe of in yeah. this anime. It was just so well done and so beautiful, and I'm going to give this a 5 clover hairpins out of 5. It's wow. totally worth it. And I would recommend it to anybody who is open-minded and willing to absorb this sort of information and take it for what it's worth, rather than laugh at the fact that the main character wants to dress up like a girl.
I have a question.
Yes?
In regards to the whole athletics issue of her having to wear a bra of some sort.
Uh-huh.
I'm just thinking of the mechanics of it. Is in a lot of previous animes where they commonly show female women in order to pass as male heirs in a family, they would bind their chest. Why, you know, I think if your chest was unbound, and I'm not a female, so I can't attest to this, wouldn't that kind of accentuate the fact that you're female? I think binding the chest would be more pragmatic and make you feel more of a man, since you're not having parts of your body move around in all kinds of interesting physical ways.
I got that, but the way that this anime is done, they follow them from very, very beginning of middle school, a little bit more like late elementary school, beginning of middle school, and then they kind of go through the first, maybe second year of middle school. And they're all very, they're not very developed yet. So
gotcha.
It was the moment when she no longer could pass for a guy. She no longer had no chest. She was starting to show. And that's why she was like, oh, God, I have to get a bra. I'm looking more like a girl now. What do I do? So, yeah, they're all kind of at that age. So it's more appropriate for the situations that are going on. And it makes it feel, like I said, like a million times already, it makes it feel more real.
I got you. But I just need a clarification on that.
No, of course. Of course. So yeah, that was my review of Harumusuko, Wandering Sun, and I enjoyed it most thoroughly. I'm actually sad that it's over.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Thank you.
It sounds like a gem that does not come around too often, so hopefully people can get past the subject matter or be open-minded enough to the subject matter to watch it.
Yep. I know Rekka really liked this, so hopefully there will be more Rekkas out there who will go out of their way to watch it.
So our average score today was 3.6.
That is not bad.
That is not bad at all.
For a general, you know, episode, that's pretty good.
Thank you again, Mitsugi, for keeping us down.
You're welcome.
So, once again, this was episode 78 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Thank you, those of you who joined us on the Ustream. We realized that there was some technical difficulties, but thank you to those of you who joined us. And thank you, Chris, from the Too Lazy to Be Otaku podcast for joining us on the show.
Thanks for deigning to recognize my existence.
Everybody, please go check out Chris's show at TooLazyToBeOtaku.com.
Yes.
And do him.
It is explicit, so be wary.
Or maybe people will go because it's explicit.
Yeah, we're very creative. We don't just drop cuss words. We depict graphical acts of sex and accuse each other of portraying them with reckless abandon.
Woohoo! So,
liking the sound of that.
We also do a lot of infighting with Otaku Momentum, another podcast.
Ah.
And so there's a lot of in-jokes in there, and I actually have those listed under the AAA Network, so you can go check those out so you don't get too lost.
We do have some pretty explicit listeners that... Yeah. Fiend for the hentai episodes.
This is very true.
I'm sure they won't have too much of a problem with the explicit tag.
But yes.
But it depends. We get a little rough sometimes.
Oh,
so
boy.
Much so that we can't look at each other afterwards, is, you know.
Oh, man. It's like that awkward morning after in a podcast, so you know you have to check it out.
Full of dudes.
It's like Mike and Mike in the morning, always fighting.
So, once again, that website is 2, 2, lazy, 2, the letter B, otaku.com. So that spells too lazy to be otaku as if you are texting it. And we are the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. You can find us at aapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, the aaanetwork.org, audiocream.com, and the ustream.tv. Search for us as AAA Podcast on any of those to find us. And taking us out tonight is going to be Pride from the anime Star Driver Kayaki no Takuto by the artist Scandal. So have a good night, everybody.
See you later.
Good night.